Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parent Show. I'm Lydia El-Khoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston. Very warm welcome tonight.
On the chilly night that it is. Now, we're in the middle of winter. I don't know if you've managed to escape without a bug or some kind of flu or cough or cold at this stage. You're very lucky, because I don't think very many people have. It's just rampant, isn't it? The winter bug and flus and coughs and colds.
Recently in St Albans and Harpenden, there's been a tummy bug, hasn't there? Horrible vomiting virus that's been circulating.
I was trying to use the more polite term, the winter bug.
The winter bug. And then there's colds. I've got a cold. You've got a cold.
Everybody's got a cold. So yeah. What we want to talk about on The Parent Show tonight is what we can be doing, and we'd love as much participation from our listeners as possible. What are your tips for kind of building your immune system coming into the winter? What foods do you kind of make sure your kids are getting to boost their body's ability to fight off these bugs? And we'll be speaking to a local homeopath, Galina, who's here in the studio with us now, and she'll be talking to us about various remedies and options.
She's looking very healthy. Very healthy compared to us. Thank God radio isn't a visual medium.
That's it. We've got the right faces for it. And so we'll be talking about food for your immune system. We'll be talking to Galina about various homeopathic approaches to boosting your children's immune system as the winter takes its hold. And we're not even halfway through it yet.
No, and the weather's actually quite good.
It's relatively mild.
It is, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. So I'm sure we've got plenty more bugs to approach us. So tune in and listen up for some tips and tricks on immunity for your children, so on your children's immune system. But we'd love to hear from you what your tips are. You can find us on Facebook, just look for Parents Show, or send us an email on parentsshow@radioverulam.com, and we'd love to learn from you.
Lydia, what have you been doing at home for your kids? I've been certainly buying multivitamins and giving them that type of thing.
I'm not a big fan of giving them vitamins. I don't know. It doesn't feel like the right thing to do. Like they say, whenever you read anything, it always says do it through food, isn't it? That's the way to kind of get as many vitamins in as possible.
Yeah.
So porridge for breakfast. I know it's dull.
Yeah, that's a good one if they'll eat it, isn't it?
And it means we have a fight to start every single day. Do you know, because it's really not as nice as Cocoa Pops, but what can you do? But that'd be my top tip, and try and just keep sandwiches out. I always think sandwiches are just what's the good in them? I don't think kids get any nutritional value out of them, and it's not gonna fight any bugs, is it? So spinach is a great one. What do you think?
I could invite you around, try and get my kids to eat some spinach.
I just got a nod off Galina for spinach. So spinach is definitely on the agenda. That's a good one. And we'll get loads more tips from Galina in just a little bit. Right, so tonight we're talking about homeopathy and how we can boost our kids' immune systems and protect them through the winter bugs and sicknesses and everything. So Galina Bogus-Rolfe, who's a local homeopath, also a Fleet Filler, is joining us in the studio this evening. How are you, Galina?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Well, I'm actually not ill yet. Hopefully won't be.
Well, you're already two steps ahead of us.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit. So winter bugs are coming on. Do you find more people are coming to you in the winter time to kind of steel themselves?
Absolutely, yes. Over the years, I've been doing homeopathy for 15 years. And over the years, I had many, many patients who would call me, oh my God, my child is ill. What shall I do? It's vomiting bug, as you said, or high temperature. So I've seen many, many cases like that. And I learned what I need to do, and I develop my own kind of strategy and program, the prevention program, and if you got ill, if your child got ill, so what better to do?
And Galina, when you talk about prevention, I mean, for example, in October, is it a good time to invest in your children's immunity and family immunity rather than wait till they're ill in December to look for remedies?
Well, actually, I have a slightly different approach. I don't actually give time. When patients would come to me with bring children with different problems, I would start with explaining why children getting ill and start to boost immune system straight away. So not waiting till for the season, really, for the cold season. And what I actually noticed when I started practice, the patient, the parents will bring children with different problems. And a few months down the line on the treatment, on the homeopathy, the parents will say, actually, my child didn't have that many colds. So what I learned that with homeopathy, you can not only address the problems what parents will bring children with or patients, you actually boost the immune system. And that's what it's all about. It's all holistic. It's holistic homeopathy is holistic medicine. So, yes, I would say you need to think about prevention not only when the season starts or before the season.
And for people who have no idea what homeopathy means or how it relates to conventional medicine, could you sort of explain that a little bit?
Well, a homeopathy is actually the system of medicine, and it's been around for more than 200 years. It's been developed by a German doctor, Hahnemann, 200-something years ago. And what he noticed when he would give patients the small doses of some medical substances rather than the normal dose, what normally we give the normal medicine, the effect is much stronger. So what he realized is the small doses would actually stimulate the immune system rather than as a normal medicinal substances, as we, medicine or medicinal substances like some herbs that time, that would, for instance, have a strong effect on the body. For instance, is an anti-inflammatory effect or painkillers. With a homeopathy, those small doses, they would stimulate immune system, our other systems, and they would actually deal with the problem themselves. Right. So it's a slightly different approach. Rather than controlling the symptoms as conventional medicine, so we won't let inflammation continue. We will relieve the pain. We're doing it slightly different. So we're giving the remedy, boosting immune system, and the body actually sorting themselves.
And it sounds like a sort of a longer term approach, and a sort of a strategy for health rather than sort of just bombing something when it happens and actually trying to give them a big dose of something when they're sick.
Exactly, yes. So that we think that homeopathy, it's preventative medicine, because as I said, we're not only treating the problem in the patient, we also boost everything, and our aim is to get patient or child healthy with everything. And then obviously they won't get that many colds. Although we're thinking that actually cold is a good thing, maybe once or twice a year, because it's a clearing.
So the cold can actually serve a purpose.
Yes, absolutely. Cold can serve the purpose, and we believe the cold, it's a good detox. So therefore, we think that we should not really give anything to suppress the cold. We should actually give something to help the cold to clear the system. So like, sweating, for instance, is very, very good, because we sweat, we eliminate some toxins. Or, hot drinks as well. Again, it's sweating, and it's helped to flush the system. Why we always, our moms always told us, drink lots of water. That's fantastic. So things like that, simple things like that, will actually help. But I will talk more about specific things, what you can do to not to get that many colds. As I said, we can get one or two a year. And how to help the body help the body to do the cold or to do the flu.
That's fascinating, Galina. I mean, I never thought there was anything positive in catching the common cold. That's really interesting. But so tell us how.
Well, do you know what the difference between cold and flu I'll tell you the difference in the holistic approach. what cold is normally, so we have runny nose, we have the mucous membranes, we're all streaming or we're coughing. So it's lots of elimination. And flu is mainly, we don't have any elimination, we don't have any runny nose, or we don't have any sore throat. But what we have lots of aches and pains and a very high fever. Yes, so that's the difference. And then cold can give us maybe, you know, we start with the nose and then we go down, the cold can go down with the cough. And that's kind of second stage of a cold. Flu, normally what would happen if you don't help your body to do the flu, what normally happen, we will have lots of weakness and it will drag for weeks. So we just cannot be ourselves. If you know, maybe that kind of, you know, state when you had a flu and then you just cannot recover.
So for people listening whose husband perhaps is lying in bed or wife with a horrible flu, what advice would you give them before we move on to children's health? What's the best thing that they could possibly get for them or do for them if they had the flu?
Flu. We're talking about flu.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We think, many holistic practitioners think that the cold is a more physical toxicity when we eliminate wrong diet, some environmental pollution. With flu, we think that we relieve stress. Mm-hmm. Hence, that's, you know, that kind of body aches and pain. And with flu, you have to lie
stop.
Down.
You have to stop.
You have to stop because that's the problem of our life. We're pushing ourselves so hard. And when the flu comes, there's no compromise. So that's the answer. So you have to stop. Do not push yourself if you think you're getting flu. You just, the best thing is to lie down, rest. Plenty of fluid, well, vitamin C. But I'll tell you how you get the best vitamin C from with food. And if it is a high temperature, go with it. The high temperature, well, of course, if it goes above 39-40 centigrade, yes, you might think about bringing temperature down. But if it is comfortable enough, if you can bear it, go with it, because the temperature is it's a body mechanism for fighting infection and obviously bugs, if we're talking about bugs and everything. Actually, temperature obviously kill all bugs. So do try not to bring the temperature down until it's very much necessary.
Now, Galina, I have to ask you, in Ireland, often they'll talk about having a hot whiskey if you're sick. I'm sure Lydia can identify with this.
Well, now,
is that a complete no-no?
Well, I'm hoping that Galina will be a kindred spirit. I mean, you're Russian, right?
We do have same thing in Russia,
why
yeah, vodka.
Why do people advocate a hot drink or possibly a hot alcoholic drink for adults? But does it actually have any benefit?
Well, I would think actually it has opposite effect, because
so
it will give
yeah.
you know, give your liver lots of toxicity, and then that's what I said. If cold and flu, it's a way of body to eliminate toxicity. So if you add toxicity, so it's for your body to eliminate.
But hot drinks, as you say, they have an effect because they make you sweat a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hot drinks, I always advise things like honey and lemon and ginger. That's mm-hmm. your hot drinks.
Raw, are you talking about raw ginger where you sort of grate it into
you can
the drink?
Grate. You can just pieces of, the way I recommend to do it, few pieces of raw ginger, not dry ginger, raw ginger, Fresh ginger. Yes, few pieces of fresh ginger. Pour hot water, 5-10 minutes, and then you add the juice from half lemon or one lemon, depends how much you can.
It
actually
sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
Even
it does.
For just a normal drink.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have it every morning. That's why I'm not ill yet. good raw honey. Because obviously honey could be processed too. So, and you just sip it.
Well, Galina, we had a question today about honey, about Manuka honey. Because people go into the supermarket, you have a big range of honeys, and some of those honeys are very expensive. And people sort of didn't understand what the rating was on them. So you'll have like Manuka honey, I don't know, they're all different. What's your advice on you know, if people felt there was a good, it was a good investment to buy a very high quality honey, is it correct assumption?
I think Manukkani probably slightly overrated, I think. But also Manukkani could be processed as well. So I would rather go for either good raw local honey.
Okay, liquid honey or set honey?
I think set probably. Okay. But you feel the difference if you're buying local honey, right, and raw honey, unprocessed. Because if you're buying in supermarkets, they mix lots of honey together, so it's not kind of, it's a bit of a mixture, really.
No. Okay.
But, you know, local producers, almost, you know those people who are actually selling on the market. I think that's the best honey, and you know you can trust them. You know that they wouldn't, you know, I don't know, in this country, but in Russia, they feed sugar to the bees, so you actually can taste. I really love honey, and I have honey every morning, and I actually can taste good honey.
Well, I used to hate honey until I went to Greece a few weeks ago. I've never tasted, it's just liquid from the gods, basically. It's so beautiful when it's fresh, when it's natural, isn't it? It was just beautiful. They mix it with fresh white natural yogurt in the morning. It was so delicious, and walnuts.
So never heat honey. When I said honey and lemon drink, so you actually add honey when water is not very hot. So it has to be hot enough, but not really hot. It's the same as lemon juice. So it won't kill all the nice things.
Oh, right. Because so often you have you boil your kettle, you put it in, you stick the honey in, it all congeals at the bottom. Mm. So you have to wait till it cools
down.
Wait
a little bit. Yes. Not boiled. It's hot, but not that hot. So, and you can sip this, and I think it's for children. It's a very pleasant
drink. I mean, could we get them to do it? Let it cool a bit. Put it in kind of a sippy cup, or put it in their water bottles, and get them to have a drink of it. I mean, it'd be fantastic if
absolutely.
They did.
One of my patients, an Asian lady, and she also advised fresh turmeric.
Ooh.
So I actually, with my ginger, I now put fresh turmeric, because apparently in Bangladesh, the patient from Bangladesh, she said that they treat everything with turmeric.
Turmeric's a big anti-cancer,
exactly,
kind of herb, isn't it?
It's a powder form.
Yeah,
fresh
root turmeric.
Oh, I
root.
See.
Root.
I see.
Into your tea with your ginger, with the raw ginger.
When I put few pieces of ginger, few pieces of fresh turmeric, hot water, 5-10 minutes, lemon and honey.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
And that turmeric actually gives really, with the ginger, ginger is quite nice and fragrant, and the turmeric quite nice, and also turmeric a bit yellowish. So it's quite kind of nice yellow drink. You can actually buy turmeric, fresh turmeric in Morrison's.
Ooh.
And I first time I actually saw a few days ago in Sainsbury in London Coney. So yeah, and I think it's fantastic.
That's great.
I don't know all the good things, but I know it's lots of good things about turmeric. I just don't remember now. But but I actually have this drink every single morning for last 25 years without turmeric. But that's prevention for you.
Yeah,
you see?
Yeah,
first thing in the morning, and how much vitamin C you're getting from the whole lemon? Lot.
Mm-hmm. So you squeeze the lemon in.
You
don't actually place the lemon in.
No. I squeeze the juice. Yes.
Great.
So it's a lovely drink for children as well.
And for children and for mothers, because it's actually keep your skin
nice.
Very
and
nice. Antioxidants.
Well, you're a walking advert, Galina.
Yeah, we're sold. We're going to have that. And my sister-in-law is about to go away for a few days' holiday. She's got a bit of a cold. That's a perfect thing to kill it before she heads off. But so that's a fantastic tip. And do you have that before breakfast? Do you have that far away from any food?
After I brush my teeth, I have a glass of good water, not tap water, good water, spring water, and then I make my honey and lemon, and then maybe 15 minutes, half an hour later, I have my breakfast.
Well, can we talk about breakfast? Because obviously this is something, you can feed our children or ourselves. What's the optimal breakfast during the winter months?
I really like porridge. I really like porridge, but I prefer porridge not with milk. I have, as a homeopath, I'm treating lots of children with allergies. And I think the milk is very often lots of children with a hidden intolerance to dairy. And it's actually, I listened to the program recently, and it's in our genes. It's actually, it's a gene responsible for digesting dairy. So if you don't have it, you're
intolerant to it.
Exactly, you're intolerant, but you can't see it straight away. So you can't, it's not like an allergic reaction. But over the time, so you will start to get this problem with your digestive system, you will start to get allergy, and as soon as you say to the patient, no dairy for a few weeks, lots of symptoms getting better. I had my very first homeopathic patient with a little girl, 4 years old, with eczema, and I said no dairy. Parents got her off dairy, no eczema. The day before she came back for the second appointment, she had yogurt, and they said, and the eczema came back.
Gosh. Mm. So these elimination exercises can be quite useful.
So yes, I think if you you're not sure why your child has eczema or allergies, hay fever, try to eliminate dairy. You can.
What are the alternatives to milk?
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, first it's first to try goat's milk, cheese, butter.
And Galina, is goat's milk not terribly expensive? Or is that just, it used to be for powdered goat's milk for babies is very expensive.
I don't think so. I don't think it's any more expensive at all. And it's quite widespread. I mean, you can get it in most supermarkets.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
So you can actually get everything now. Goat's yogurt, goat's cheese.
But is it a healthy milk even if you're not lactose intolerant? Is it a healthy milk to have anyway?
It's easier to digest.
Okay.
It's easier to digest goat's milk. But if it doesn't work, then you need to go to things like rice milk or almond milk. There's a whole range of different milks in a health, or a supermarket, even in a health food shop. But I wouldn't advise soya milk.
That's interesting. That's what I was just about to ask you.
Yeah. Yes. I was told, or I read somewhere, well, you know that we advise soya for menopausal ladies. So there's something soy would do in our bodies, so to do with hormones.
Linked to hormones.
I wouldn't give it to small children. I actually made my mistake with my daughter until I, you know, read what, because I was giving her lots of soya yogurt.
Between those different milks, almond milk, goat's milk, is there one that tastes a lot better than the others that children would have a natural?
Do you know, different people like different milks.
Okay.
And because there's so many, for instance, I like almond milk. My daughter likes rice milk. And my husband likes oats milk. Mm. So it's really individual. Yeah. You need to try and you need to give your children different milk and see what they actually can, which one they prefer.
Okay.
So experiment. It's worth it because then I can see that pattern that the milk, if it is a milk intolerance, dairy intolerance in children, then when they grow up, they're definitely going to be hay fever or some IBS even, well, combined with stress. So it's worth trying and seeing if you can actually survive without it.
So porridge without milk, ideally, and toppings, what do?
Berries, banana, you can put some honey, a little bit of honey. I wouldn't put any other syrups. I would put honey. Nuts, seeds. I don't know how children can. I remember I was trying to kind of hide some a bit of a nut powder into my daughter's porridge because she doesn't like nuts. So things like that. But I think berries is really good because berries are very, full of nutrients, full of antioxidants. Well, maybe even some jam. My daughter liked to put some jam in it. But
pomegranate is a great one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because the kids actually quite like it.
Yeah,
it's quite,
they do. It's a bit quirky
so
for
them.
It's
so good for you.
But the great thing about berries, I think it was the fairy food mother who we've had on, she's a nutritionist who we've had on a couple of times, her suggestion is to have frozen berries in the freezer winter all the time, and then you can just take a handful out, because it is hard. It's certainly this time of the year. I mean,
it's expensive.
It's expensive, and you're probably shipping them from Chile or, you know, from, you know,
Mexico.
Very far flung places that probably isn't very good for the planet.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're buying frozen ones that were grown here during the summertime, you know,
or frozen raspberries, anything like that would be nice.
Dry fruit.
Oh, really? I've heard so many things about dried fruit, added loads of added sugar being used with dried fruit.
Well, I would always advise, of course, organic. So, but what I, the way I do it, I would soak my dry fruit in hot, well, in boiled water for 5 minutes. So they kind of become softer. And then if it's big, like if it's apricot soft cuts, and or if, you know, goji berries, for instance, it all kind of, I think with children, you really need to experiment. First, second, you need to approach it, because what with my parents would normally, oh, my child won't eat it. You know, we straight away kind of program our children, they won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you actually maybe eat it yourself and think, well, that's really nice. And if your child says, well, can I have it? Well, I'm not sure if it's for children, you know, even do the tricks.
Yeah.
And then you know, because that's, I found with my daughter, she would, you know, if you're kind of not giving her something, she would probably want it
very
much.
It's exactly what you want, yeah.
No. We told our 4-year-old pomegranate were sweets, so he wants the sweets.
Brilliant. Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now we're speaking to local homeopath Galina Bogus-Rolfe, who is talking to us about various tips to boost our children and ours. We're getting a bonus lesson here. We're learning about our own immune system over the winter months and how to fight off bugs. Now we were talking about breakfast. Let's just round up your thoughts on food, Galina.
So we talk about porridge, and I said that it's good to add honey in our porridge. I wouldn't recommend to add sugar. Lots of people adding sugar, white sugar, brown sugar. Sugar generally is not very good for your immune system and for your children's immune system, because it's unbalancing your gut flora. And as I don't know if you know, that 80% of our immune system actually lies in our gut. So by eating sugar and sugary foods, it's really lowering our immune system. It's producing lots of fermentation in our gut, lots of mucus, and then we have all sorts of problems with digestive system, and then we have cold. So sugar, unfortunately, no. So we need to really be adventurous about sweets, what we're giving out to our children. So see if it's any sweets with juice rather than with raw, with a sugar, or with honey sweets or something.
So what? So honey sweets. So something like baklava would be a better pudding than, say, for example, a jam tart.
Well, I think it's better to check. It's always check ingredients. And I must say, in our market, in St. Albans market, very often we can see quite actually healthy things. So with honey, and you ask no sugar, and even gluten-free, actually it's another subject. So fantastic. I'm very, very happy that we can buy all sorts of interesting things in our market in St. Albans.
Yeah, it is fantastic. But what you're saying is coming up time and time again, the sugar thing. It becomes more and more apparent that we should really almost completely rule it out of our diet. It just doesn't agree with us. And the one kind of, I suppose, is it fallacy that people think is that, oh, well, I can just use sweetener instead. But sweetener is an even bigger no-no than sugar, isn't it?
Aspartame is it's a big thing. I wouldn't recommend aspartame at all. And unfortunately, even in children's drinks now, we have added aspartame. So please read labels and read about ingredients. You can find it on the internet. You can find and read it with your children. I remember reading with my daughter when she was, I think she was 7, and she was asked for sweets. And I have this book called E for Additives. So we would get the packet, open the book, and find each E number and see what they do. And after that, she didn't want to have this sweet. I know it's a bit cruel, but
I think that's a fantastic idea. I think that's so great, because it's empowering children to make their own decisions. I mean, as opposed to my process, which was you know, every morning, I don't want porridge. It's like, you're having porridge. I don't want porridge. You're having porridge. Why?
Well, it's like when they go and see, in some of the primary schools, they go and visit the factories where they make certain gelatine sweets. And after they've seen how they're made, they don't want them.
Really?
No. They're made with bovine gel, you know, gels and... Not nice.
So sugar's out. Anything else out, Galina?
What's in?
Anything else out? Well, yes, we talk about gluten. That's another thing what I would say that lots of children I've seen that have intolerance to gluten. Gluten, unfortunately, wheat with high percentage of gluten, and that's what we have in this country. We have wheat with high percentage of gluten. So we had to make all this nice bread, soft bread, that's mean that lots of gluten in it. Same as dairy, unfortunately, eliminate gluten from diet and from child's diet, and child is getting much, much better health. And with adults, well, you can actually see lots of adults gave me feedback when they stop eating gluten. They said that my energy was up, my head was clear. And one lady said, it was as if I was in a fog, living in a fog. My body was in a fog, my mind was in a fog. 2 weeks without gluten.
Makes a difference,
yes. And again, coming back to St. Albans Market, you can buy rye bread, you can buy spelt bread, you can buy all sorts of bread. Mm. So worth experimenting. If you feel that your energy is not high, if you feel that your child can't concentrate, try not to feed sandwiches to your child. Because when I stopped eating gluten and somebody gave me a nice piece of stollen, I thought, well, I love stollen. Oh, I'll have this piece. Within 15 minutes, I had an energy drop. Ooh. And oh my gosh, why I'm so tired? I haven't done anything. As if I, you know, done the big job.
Yeah.
So experiment with it and see. You might find that you might have this intolerance. But things like spelt and rye could be an alternative.
Is it easy enough to find if you're gluten intolerant? Like, is there a test you can do? Is it a blood test or?
You can do some blood tests, but I found it sometimes it doesn't work, maybe if it's not kind of very strong. But the best thing to do is elimination diet. So 2 weeks without any gluten, and then you will see the difference. And if you will see the difference, then you will start gluten again, and they actually you won't probably like it.
There's such a range in the supermarket of gluten-free things, isn't there?
It's very easy. There's huge sections in the supermarkets now.
Pasta, gluten-free bread. Also, a fantastic bread shop in St. Albans.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Not cheap, but, but it's... what I do, because we, in our family, we try not to eat gluten, but sometimes we want to have egg and toast. So what I do, I would buy this good bread, spelt or rye bread, cut it, freeze it. So when we need a piece of bread... we defrost it. But when you have this, you know, loaf of bread on your table in a kitchen, so you would eat it.
But if
it's not on a table, if it's in a freezer, in a deep freezer, so you would just have an odd piece of toast.
That's and very sensible, isn't it?
It won't kind of, you know, not even every day.
But that's a brilliant idea, because so much of bread is that it's there.
You have to eat it.
Oh, yeah, and I hear my husband goes, oh, well, I'll just finish it off. Yeah. You know, and that's a fantastic idea. So frozen slices individually in a little kind of freezer bag.
You cut it and you just put it like a loaf, and you put it in there. So when you can separate it easily.
Yeah.
But do it when it's fresh. So when you defrost it, it's still fresh.
Yeah.
So don't wait when it's kind of not fresh and then freeze it. No, it won't be nice. But when fantastic rye bread in a supermarket you can get. So it's, but again, always ask.
Red Born Berry
Mill. Fantastic. Oh, they have delicious bread. On the market.
And Galina, what about garlic? I think we commonly understand garlic to be a great healthy thing to eat. Is that correct?
Lots of studies been done on garlic, actually. I've read a lot. And yes, garlic is really good. Garlic, well, we talk about turmeric. Mushroom, shiitake mushroom is fantastic for immune system booster. Fermented food. We were talking about immune system. It's 80% in your gut. What is a good thing for gut? It's a fermented food, like miso soup, like pickles, like.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut. I never.
That's an entire list of all the things my husband loves. Really? Sauerkraut and pickles, and I never really understood if they were good for you or not.
He's probably very healthy.
Yeah.
Mm. So yes, sauerkraut, and even I was
pickled cabbages, cabbage,
but beetroot.
Yes, yes, but make sure it's pickled, not kind of it's fermented, not just pickled. Okay, So it's worth looking at like a raw pickle thing. And the miso soup. Why Japanese very healthy? Because they eat lots of fermented food, fermented soya, tofu. So that's that kind of thing. And water. We didn't talk about. Well, we talk about water already, but make sure that you drink good water. I know. A lot of people believe that in a tap is a good water, but sometimes it's not really that good. And I would definitely recommend to drink good water. What I do, we have this 20 liters bottles, you need to deliver it to us, and it's fantastic. It's really good. It's actually cheaper than you buying water in the supermarket.
Like the ones you sort of buy for offices.
Yeah. It's amazing. Mm. Actually, it's a very good company, a small company. It's called Aquasurst. And they're very efficient, very good, and it's really convenient.
The good thing about that is it's all recycled, isn't it? Because that's the thing about buying water bottle, you know, bottles of water. It's such a waste. Even though the plastic's recycled, you're still, you know, being part of the chain, you know. So that's great. Those bottles are just refilled, aren't they?
Yes. And again, they, you know, if you're buying water from the supermarket, you don't know how long this water been in a bottle. And the bottle, plastic, leaking. But water in those bottles, they refill it, you know, when you need it, really. So it doesn't actually stay in that plastic bottle for a very long time. So that's another advantage. So yes, plenty of water, and do try to teach your children to drink lots of water. And I think it's good now at school they're teaching children to drink lots of water.
Well, they get them to bring water bottles in, don't they, which is fantastic. If you think when we were at school, we didn't drink the whole day.
No.
She didn't.
Milk.
Disgusting.
Talking about drinking, we as a homeopath, I normally recommend people to reduce things like coffee and black tea. Well, when we're talking about coffee, it's a very, very big stimulant. And I know lots of people like coffee, but it stimulates your body. It actually gives you artificial energy, because if you don't have energy, you feel tired, I'll have my coffee and I can run again. That's pushing, which we were talking about flu, when you push you too much. So if you drink coffee, it may be the case you're actually running on artificial energy. Mm. And then your adrenals exhausted and you have your flu.
I think the central message is really about tonight is about sort of sustaining levels of energy and good nutrition throughout the year and embedded within family life, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. And black tea as well, because black tea quite stimulating. So what I actually recommend, and I, when I was preparing for this talk, I actually found many studies actually done on a green tea. The green tea is fantastic. And actually one study was done green tea on children, and may prevent actually to 1 to 5 cups per day of green tea may prevent influenza infection in children. That's what kind of the result of the
study. It's never even dawned on me that children can have green tea. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, me neither, I have to say.
I've never made that connection. Up.
My kids have had Red Bush, you know, like if I'm drinking it, they'll
that's
have a little.
Really, that's good. Really good.
And they like that, but that's because there's a little bit of sugar in it. But I mean, they
do you put the sugar in it though?
Yes.
Because I'm just thinking, my kids would
not tomorrow, I guess.
Really?
From tomorrow, no sugar.
From tomorrow, no sugar. It's gone. Banned from ours. Unless stevia. Do you approve of stevia?
No, really? I'm not sure.
It's too processed, isn't it?
I think so. Yes, I think so. Yes, so green tea, the few things I have here, I have propolis. I don't know how, are you familiar with propolis? It's a bee product. I think you can search internet. It's not very, very common. Actually, it's very common in Russia, but it's not very common in this country. But it's a really good immune system stimulant. You can buy it in a health food shop. We know about vitamin C. We talk about vitamin C. But as you actually, Lydia, you said that you don't like vitamins and you know, in tablets. I actually don't like vitamins in tablets. So I would rather give children lemon juice. I would rather not orange juice. Orange juice produce lots of mucus in children's systems. So when you're giving children orange juice thinking that you're giving children vitamin C, you're mistaken. Actually, it will give, that will then, you know, run through the you know, all those discharges. I don't know. That's the study being done, and that's definitely. I had many patients stop orange juice, less cold, only on stopping orange juice. So vitamin C, where raw vegetables. I know how difficult to feed children raw vegetables, but I, with my daughter, what I was doing while I'm preparing the main meal, I would just put a bowl with pieces of raw vegetables, cucumber, tomato, carrot, you know, cabbage, and she would just, you know, munch it while she's waiting for the main meal. You know, I didn't even put any dressing, anything on it. And I think with children, they really like to kind of, you know,
nibble.
Or nibble, yes, or sit in front of the TV, nibble instead of chips or crisps or something. Give them raw pepper.
It's very juicy for kids, isn't it? Yeah. Now, Galina, because we're running out of time, what about sunlight? It's obviously dismally dark. You know, at 4 o'clock, it's dark. Our children are not getting sunlight and probably realistically won't see it until the spring or summer, some of them. So what's your advice on that? Why is vitamin D so important and what can we do to compensate?
Well, vitamin D is, again, it's immune system. And now we have a good range of vitamin D supplements. That's probably one of the few supplements I would recommend. But even if children outside, even if it's not the sunny day, we still have sunlight. So I would definitely recommend children to be more outside. And it's not only sunlight, maybe not that strong as it's during the summer, but it's still actually the body will produce some vitamin D. That's sunlight and fresh air. We need oxygen. Children need oxygen because obviously to oxygenate the body. So kind of there's rest we were talking about, sleep, children, and rest as well, because sometimes children are very energetic, they're running around and they just drop. Enough sleep to make sure the children go to bed early rather than late, because sleep before 12 o'clock much more beneficial for our health than after 12. Then, you know, if you sleep longer in the morning, actually, it's not that good. It's better to sleep longer before 12 o'clock. So all this thing, I think it's very, very, very important. But if you, with homeopathy as well, so what I'm giving children, it's, we have these tissue salts. It's like homeopathic vitamins. So I always give those tissue salts during the cold and flu season, because it's, they're made of minerals, calcium, magnesium, silica, iron, because obviously iron is very important. So those supplements, you can buy them, they're called tissue salts. You can buy them in Holland and Barrett or health food shop. Really, really good.
Well, Galina, we're nodding in acknowledgement. This has been fantastic.
So
and interesting and
I'm going
fabulous. But before we run out of time, we're going to have to get all your details. How can people get in touch with you if they want to, Galina?
I practice in St. Albans. I practice in London too now, but my practice in St. Albans is 37A Beaumont Avenue. You can look on my website. It's www.homeopathic.pro, but I'm sure you can, it's all on, if you Google me on on internet, so it's, you can find me.
And we'll put it up on Facebook tonight.
Yeah, will indeed.
On a Facebook, yes, I've got a few pages on a Facebook, Absolute Health page, where I put all the advice.
Okay, so, great. Well, thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Well, thanks to everyone for listening to The Parent Show on 92.6 FM. We're here every Thursday, 8 to 9 p.m. live on air. Click Listen Live on RadioVerulam.com to keep up to date with all the important issues that matter to parents and those who care for kids.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.